Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time again that we can draw aside and come before thy presence. Lo, Lord, as we're met the one with the other, together even in friendship, but Lord, as we bow before thee this morning, we seek to worship and praise thy name. And so, O God, we pray for thy presence to be in the midst. O Lord, we pray for an outpouring of thy Spirit upon us. O God, we pray each one that we might be cleansed afresh from our iniquities and from our sins. O God, that we might be vessels fit for thy use. And O Lord, as the word of God is open before us, we pray, O Lord, now that you would open our hearts, that we might receive it. Open our eyes that we might see it. Open our minds that we might understand it. And O God, we pray that thou wouldst take of thy word. Bless it to each and every heart. Lord, for those who will listen in on sermon audio that can't be with us today, Father, may thy word come with blessing and with power. And so, O God, take that which is of man, burn it up as dross, hide us behind the cross, that none might be seen, save Jesus only. So, Father, exalt thy word, be glorified in the midst, and grant as we leave here the one with the other, we will say it's good for us to have been here, for it's here that we've met afresh with the Lord. So, Father, come again with power. Restore unto us again the joy of thy salvation. For we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let us read together the words of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and behold and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to each and every one of our hearts this morning. And as I've said, I would like to take a bit of an overview of the life of David this morning and then come back to look at the penmanship of the Psalm 51. David's life is recorded in Scripture from the book of 1 Samuel through to 2 Samuel into 1 Kings. And he is, of course, accountable for many of the Psalms that we read. David was chosen to be king by the Lord. There was to be no king in Israel, in a sense, because Jehovah was the king of Israel. But the people of Israel looked to the nations around about them. They saw that they had kings, and they desired to be ruled in that way. And God gave that desire to them. But they did not get the king of their choice, for it was David who was to be the chosen one. And you know, as I think even of the anointing of David as king, Samuel made that special journey to Bethlehem to anoint him. And as the father prepares his children to receive the prophet into the home, you know what it's like when the minister's coming to visit, even the bleach is bleached, and the children are paraded out, all bright and shiny, and so it was, I'm sure, in that day. But yet the thing was that David wasn't even presented to the prophet. No, the children were paraded out, he'll choose this one, he'll choose this one, he'll choose this one, and each one rejected. Have you not got another son? And then the thought goes to David, the shepherd boy. And at a young age, that's what David was. He tended his father's sheep. This was a job usually reserved for the least esteemed of the family or of its servants. When the prophet Samuel makes that trip to Bethlehem, it is this shepherd boy that is chosen to replace Saul, who would someday lose his life for departing from God's ways. A few years after the anointing, David takes on the fight against Goliath. The story, of course, you're all familiar with. The people and children of Israel are gripped with fear. But David, strong in faith, does not fear this unclean Philistine who makes insults and mockeries of the God of Israel. And so he goes before him in battle, clothed only in the armor of God, taking the stone into the sling and letting it fly, and the giant is slain. And the people of Israel rejoice in the victory that was granted that day. From a human standpoint, Goliath was nearly invincible. His size and his strength made him nearly impossible to defeat. He stood nearly 9 foot tall. His protective battle coat weighed some 37 kilograms, 35 to 37 kilograms. His spear was almost 8 meters long. And yet the shepherd boy, with his faith in God, stood against him that day and defeated him. There was, of course, contention over the throne of Israel. David, in fact, only ruled one tribe in Judah after the death of Saul. His rule over one tribe, which began when he was about 30 years of age, lasted for about 7.5 years. It was after this time that all the elders of Israel acknowledged him as the sole ruler over the tribes. He has granted many victories in battle. He attacks the Jebusites in Jerusalem and captures the city. And this is why, even to this day, Jerusalem is also called the City of David. It becomes the new capital over a united Israel. It is the place where he lives and eventually brings the Ark of the Covenant. But unfortunately, there are many curses and problems to enter into the life of David. And as we look back on them as they're recorded in Scripture, we have to say that many of them indeed were self-inflicted. And so today, as we come to look at the life of David, we consider his sin in taking the census to determine the size of the army instead of trusting in God. He cost the lives of more than 70,000 of the people of Israel. His lack of discipline in his own house contributed to his son Absalom rebelling against him and another seeking to inherit the throne instead of Solomon. The life of King David ended shortly after proclaiming his son Solomon the next ruler of Israel. He died at the age of 70 after ruling God's people for 40 years. And so as we look back at those events, we consider his anointing of the Lord, and as we consider looking back upon David, consider that title that is given to him, the man after God's own heart. What a title. What a title to be bestowed upon any man. The greatness of David is clear from Scripture. But so, in fact, are his sins. So, in fact, is his fall. And I would say even that perhaps since Adam's fall, there was no greater fall from grace than that of David. Because he was one who was so close to the very heart of God, and yet sinned in such a heinous way. Psalm 51 shows the great penitent of Scripture. It is a psalm we can all relate to. The words expressed by David are so often the expression of our own hearts. When we have fallen into sin, when our hearts have grown cold, when we have wandered in to bypath meadows. It is a Spirit-inspired prayer of confession. And I would say it should be a bookmarked psalm for every believer in your Christian life. And I'm also conscious today that there are those perhaps listening in on sermon audio, and you're not a Christian. You've never had your sins forgiven. Well, then make this psalm the prayer of your heart, the prayer of your life, coming to Christ, asking and receiving forgiveness of sins. David here revealed his most personal thoughts. The man that is described after God's own heart, here we see his heart in all its brokenness. He sees his sin so clearly. He asks for mercy and for healing, to be purged, to be forgiven. Yes, the David that is king over Israel sets aside his crown and falls at the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, begging to be forgiven. The fall of David into sin is recorded in 2 Samuel 11. And what a stark contrast there is when we think of King David and we know how he went out upon his balcony and he took into his gaze the woman known as Bathsheba. And lust took a hold of his heart and of his life. And from that point in time, David began a catastrophic chain of events that was to change his life forever. As David looked that day upon the woman, his heart was smitten with lust. And I would put it to you, he did not simply leave God that moment. There was a build-up to this. Somewhere along the way, David's heart had grown cold. He had fallen out of daily worship. He had fallen out of his love and his warmth for his Savior. He was living his life in his own strength and not relying upon the Lord. And so here he is, and he is now at a moment of weakness. And he then sends a messenger. He inquires after her. He sends a messenger. She receives the messenger. She comes to the palace. We all know what happened then. Then after that, David, seeking to cover up his own sin, takes back her husband, takes him into the palace, feeds him up, sends him back to his wife, but he won't go to his wife. No, he stays at the palace as a guard, even to protect David's life from any potential enemy. David then schemes again, sends another messenger to his generals that this man is to be put into the very fiercest part of the battle. David was, in effect, committing murder. How far will sin take a person? We can see here in the life of David how far sin can take the most godly man. I put it to you that David was perhaps the most godly man to walk the face of this earth next to our dear Savior. And here he is, caught up in adultery. Here he is, caught up in murder. Here he is, caught up in lie after lie and deceit. And it's all about to unravel for him. Such a stark contrast as we think of God's servant Joseph. How he, even in Potiphar's house, would not look to the wife of the servant and ran. He took his life in his own hands and ran to be away from such a sin. But David rather receives it into his bosom. And he lit a fire in his bosom that day that would utterly consume him and destroy all that he loved and held dear. But then the wheels of God were turning. And there is introduced into David's life a prophet. The prophet in this case is the prophet Nathan. And it's recorded in 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him. I just want to pause there for a moment that we see here David had sent out messengers to do his evil deeds. But here the Lord was sending a messenger to David to bring his word to him. And it is so often the case that the messengers sent of God are not sent willingly. The tasks that they are given to do can be difficult tasks. Tasks that no one would want. And we think of Nathan receiving this task. Lord, do you want me to go to the king? Am I to go to the king and point out to the king his sin? The answer was yes. And there are sometimes you and I are called to do that very thing. We are called to take a stand against that which is popular today, against that which is easy to accept today. God would tell us to say no. Enough is enough. I know we covered it the last time we was here, but certainly where the world is going and its views on abortion are just absolutely horrific. And Christian, you and I, no matter what, must hold that line. We can never give an inch on that subject or topic. God breathed life into man. It is God that gives. It is God that shall take away. And none else without solemn judgment upon them. And so the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own meat, it drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man. And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. David was enraged when he heard this story. He saw the injustice of what this rich man had done to the poor man. But yet in an instant, the prophet in faithfulness to God turns it around on him, and the Spirit of God works upon David's heart, and he is smitten with guilt. And those words ring in his ears, thou art the man. You are the one, David, guilty of this sin. You took that which did not belong to you. You had killed which you had no right to put to death. Thou art the man. And David is so smitten with his guilt. We then read the lovely words that are recorded in Psalm 51 that we've looked at this morning. When David knew of his sin, when David knew what he had done, David took to prayer. The Bible records that for 7 days, David prayed and wept before the Lord. He knew his child's life would be taken. And he sought, as a father would and could and should do, to see that child spared. With all his heart, he prayed and sought God. But God's answer to him was no. God's answer to him was no. And when the servants saw this, and when the servants knew that the child had passed away, they didn't even want to bring the news to David. They saw how distressed he was that the child was alive and might die. And they didn't know how he would react. But David saw them talking. David knew that the child's life had been taken. But David's spirit and heart had been broken. And in subjection to the sovereign will of God, David passed through the valley of that sorrow. And you know, there are times in life when sorrow afflicts many of us. And we cannot understand the hurt and the sorrow that we feel. We cannot understand the depths of the valley or the darkness of the night. But yet, child of God, the Lord is there. The Lord is by our side through those very trials. And it was through this very deep tragedy and trial that David pens those words. It's recorded in the title of the psalm, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Christian, this psalm is a roadmap to forgiveness. This psalm is a plea. This psalm is a prayer. David prays for mercy. What David deserved was judgment. What David deserved was wrath, because that is what all sin deserves. And you and I sit and stand here today worthy of the judgment of God. Worthy that his wrath might be poured out upon us. But yet we sit today at the feet of Jesus because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his grace. I once heard the story of a soldier who had deserted from the army of Napoleon. He had deserted and was captured, and was brought before the general for justice to be carried out, which meant he was going to be put to death. And in the court that day was the young man's mother. And the mother threw herself at the feet of the general and begged that her son would be let go free. Napoleon turned to her and said, "Justice demands that he must die." The young boy's mother looked to Napoleon and said, "I did not come here for justice, but for mercy, that my son might live." And today, beloved, because of the justice of God that was poured out upon our Savior Jesus Christ, we today have mercy with the Lord. We today have forgiveness for our sins. Justice has been satisfied, and the sinner is set free. Do you know, sometimes we can get so caught up as Christians thinking that we're living a good and pleasing life to the Lord, and He blesses us. The Lord blesses us in spite of what we are. The Lord's mercy and the Lord's grace is given to us as believers in spite of what we are, in spite of what we do, in spite of what we say. You listening today on Sermon Audio and you think you could never be a Christian. Oh, you think you can't keep it. There's nothing to keep. It is the Lord who keeps us. It is the Lord who upholds us. It is the Lord who preserves us. Child of God, have you been caught up in some sin? Has it entered your life? Has it set a fire in your heart? Has it taken you away from the Lord? In spite of that sin, He loves you. In spite of that sin, His grace is upon you. In spite of that sin today, He offers you forgiveness. You see, we believe, and I believe, in a salvation that was paid for in full. When Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, He died not for the sins that I think I confessed or I have confessed. He died for the sins I didn't even know I committed. He died for the sins of yesterday, the sins of today, and the sins of tomorrow. Yes, that's the Savior. That is the Christ of the gospel. That is the salvation that is to be found today. That is the Christ that we preach. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Christ shall deliver you and I from our sins. Yes, as David came before the Lord, he saw very clearly his sin and knew that mercy was the only answer for it. He knew that the blood was the only way to have it cleansed. And so he pleads with the Lord, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And when we talk about that cleansing, it's the removing of a mark. It's the taking away of that mark. Because sin, my friends, sin is recorded. Every sin does not escape the eye of a holy and just God. But as the Scriptures tell us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Before I close, I want to read to you the words of Matthew Henry. He is, of course, one of the greatest Bible commentators, and there's no justice I could do to the Scriptures above what he could do. And for Psalm 51, Matthew Henry records, David, being convinced of his sin, poured out his soul to God in prayer for mercy and grace. Whither should backsliding children return but to their Lord and God, who alone can heal them? He drew up by divine teaching an account of the workings of his heart toward God. Those that truly repent of their sins will not be ashamed to own their repentance. Also, he instructs others what to do and what to say. David had not only done much, but suffered much in the cause of God. Yet he flees to God's infinite mercy and depends upon that alone for pardon and peace. He begs for the pardon of sin, the blood of Christ, sprinkled upon the conscience, blots out the transgression, and having reconciled us to God, reconciles us to ourselves. The believer longs to have the whole debt of his sins blotted out and every stain cleansed. He would be thoroughly washed from all his sins. Dear child of God, Yes, be reconciled to God today, but also be reconciled to yourself. Those sins that have wounded your heart, once confessed and repented of, God remembers them no more, and neither should you. God's mercy is infinite. And as we think of the life of David, let us learn, as David sinned much, David's soul suffered much, but the grace of God was sufficient. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts today. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, Lord, we thank Thee for the joy that Thy Word brings to our hearts. We thank Thee, dear God, that with Thee there is mercy and plenteous redemption, and that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And so, O God, we pray now You would prepare our hearts for worship. Meet with us afresh today, and restore unto us the joy of Thy so great salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.